But still.
Hell? Why are Bobby Ryan and Kyle Turris punching each other?
Why not? Bobby Ryan's your boy.
I did want him on the team a while ago. Everything seemed to work out.
Yeah. Because we the champs. We the champs, babes. All right, here we go.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. That means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world. The Washington Capitals, thank you so much for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, quick turnaround for What the Puck. We were just talking, what, a few days ago, and now we're back doing yet another show. The Capitals had a really good weekend. All W's. W's all around for the Caps. Ovi making a little bit of history, doing his thing, and Willie Baby comes back to the lineup. So joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
Doing good. So
how was your 5 days or something since we last talked?
Let's see. I had a good time. I was at the beach and took my god kids and their sister, who was 4, to breakfast with Santa. And they stayed at my condo, which was nice, and that was good. And got to watch the Caps at the beach. So anytime I can do that, that's good. But it's been 2 really long games, both games going to shootouts. The Caps coming away with 2 Ws. So, Coach Dan, what do you think? Caps can't get it done in regulation. They still come away with 2 points, so they're sticking with it. They're playing more than 60 minutes. I think that's really telling. They can come out with 2 Ws at that point, because back-to-back games, you know those guys are tired.
Yeah, it's not great when you're playing consistent games in overtime, because you're just adding extra hockey. You're adding extra opportunities for guys to get tired, put more stress on their legs and their bodies, and then it's just more opportunity for someone to get hurt. So it'd be great if this team could win the next one in regulation if they don't mind.
That's right. And we saw them split Holtby and Phoenix Copley. No surprise there. However, Andrei Burakovsky, he's been sitting on the sidelines. He's been a healthy scratch for 3 games. Did you find it a little strange that with these back-to-back games that Todd Reardon didn't give someone a night off with a back-to-back game and let Andrei Burakovsky come in and play a little bit?
Yeah, it was a little interesting that he didn't come in after, you know, in the back-to-backs. You expect kind of like the how the goalies rotate. You expect a little bit of rotation on the fourth line, and he didn't come at all. And it was rather interesting, and it certainly sounds like he is in the, I don't know if doghouse might be a bit dramatic, because it's not like he necessarily has done something wrong per se. He's just not playing well enough. And the other guys on the roster are just playing better than him at the moment, and they're gelling better than Burakovsky is with his teammates. If you look at the fourth line of – what is the fourth line? Like DSP, Bowie, and –
Bowie?
Not Bowie. God, dude, like we were saying before we started, we're real tired. Boyd and Dowd, they're just gelling better right now. Is it Smith-Pelly or is it Stevenson? I can't remember. This is how tired we are. But they're all like all the lines seem to be gelling quite well right now. I mean, Tom Wilson came back, which then settles the lines in a little bit better. And so it gives this team an opportunity to really figure out what their best forwards are. And at the moment, that does not include, or their best 12 forwards, I should say, that does not include Andrei Burakovsky.
It's kind of interesting to me because they, you know, there's been this rumor circulating around that Andrei Burakovsky could be leaving town. He could be traded.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Not to necessarily interrupt, but there's a report out there who first was reported by Hockey Night in Canada as Chris Johnson. And he said that it looks like Vancouver, who's, I believe, their jersey I was wearing last week when we were recording. They are interested in Mr. Burakovsky, but that the Capitals apparently at the moment have no interest in moving him. And my guess is it has to be a deal that really sort of too good to pass up in their eyes. And I feel like if they're going to move Burakovsky, you have to get someone that's around the same age and that can that will be able to produce better than Burakovsky. And if you're a team taking him on, you're likely looking at it as this kid's only 23 and he likely is going to play better. He just might be in a situation where he needs a new environment. So it'll be interesting to see which team or if there's any other teams besides Vancouver that are interested in him. But it sounds like the Caps right now, the Caps are not interested at all in moving him.
But it's, I mean, all right, so it makes sense, though, that why he didn't play there if they don't want to move him at all. But, you know, I was thinking if you are thinking about trading this guy away, I find it kind of weird you don't want to showcase his skills. Do you remember in the Adam Oates era, the short-lived era that it was, when we had three goaltenders on the roster? And they kept trading him off, and you hear reports that a general manager from this team is in the building. So they're kind of felt like as if they were shopping for a new goaltender to kind of see what they were doing. So it's a little weird that they're not giving Burakovsky a chance to showcase what he can do on the ice. I mean, does that potentially that could show to me they have no faith? Like they put him on the ice, his value is actually going to go down.
Well, I think some of it is that the lineup is playing very well right now. I mean, this team, let me go back and look at the schedule, but they're on a pretty decent winning streak at the moment. And so I don't think they really have a reason to necessarily bring him back in because things are going so well. I mean, they've won the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're on a 5-game winning streak. You don't really want to mess with the lineup too much unless you have to. And the thing is like if you bring him in and he's not producing, but you want to showcase him, does that hurt the team in the long run? And this is not a team that's necessarily looking to have a fire sale or looking to potentially move guys. They need to win, and they need to be winning games now because they're in a race for a playoff spot. Now, yes, they are currently first in the Metro Division. They're 6 points up on Columbus and 7 on Pittsburgh. But they still need to keep winning games because, as we know, Pittsburgh is always going to be there, and Columbus is showing that last season was not a fluke and that they're still a team to keep an eye on as we get further into the season and closer to the playoffs. And so if the Capitals are, you know, starting to try and show players off to potentially make a trade, then is that going to hurt their, you know, production as a team in the long run? And then the other side of it is that you bring Burakovsky back in and he starts to produce and his trade value goes up. Do you really want to trade him? Like if he starts to play really well, you're like, screw that. We already have this guy. Why are we going to get rid of him? Especially since he's only 23. If we're talking about like a 35-year-old or a 33-year-old, who's doing decently, yeah, then maybe you're like, you know what, maybe we move him out, we bring in a younger guy that can do just as well or almost as well, and then he can transition in a year or two into being a top six forward. But Burakovsky's only 23. Yes, it's like we talked about last week, his cap hit is pretty high right now at $3 million a year, and it's up after this season. So the question really for the Capitals is, how are you going to get him to start producing better? Because he's I keep comparing him to Tomas Fleischmann. He's a very streaky player. How do you get him to be able to produce consistently? And is it worth moving away from him knowing he's only 23? He's got a lot of hockey left in his career, likely. You know, are you willing to give up on him at this point?
No, all right. So let's say, hypothetically.
I mean, if you're the Caps and Vancouver comes out and they're saying, we're going to send you, what's his name, Bozer or Patterson for Burakovsky, like, yeah, you're going to make that deal. But that's not going to happen. So the question is, if you move Burakovsky, you better get something good in return.
So that's my next question to you. If you are going to, if you're the GM, if you're the coach and you are willing to trade Burakovsky, what is one of the, or who, what position are you choosing to fill with the loss of Burakovsky? I mean, right now there are some injuries on the defense. You have Brooks Orpik out, Christian Juice, who we'll talk about in a little bit. He's out, so the defense is looking a little slim. Are you looking strictly for defensemen? Or if they came to you and said, look, we'll give you, you know, two AHLers and a draft pick, is that enough for Andre Burakovsky?
If I'm the Caps, I'm looking for a forward. Not
defense at all.
No, because they have like 7,000 defensemen in the prospect pool, and I have zero interest in bringing in another goddamn defenseman. This team, we're talking about later with Hershey. We talked about this in the past. They have not. Let me hang on. I'm gonna look this up. Oh, what's the website? Hockey. If you want to look up like
GOOGLE.com.
No, it's not Google. Smartass. Draft by team. There it is. So hockeydb.com is a fantastic website for looking up
DB.
Shut up. Looking up hockey and sort of the past, and you can look at it's great for finding draft information as well as players who they used to play for and their stats. So the last year the Capitals drafted a forward in the first round is, let's see, 2018 defenseman, 2017 defenseman. 2017 they had four picks. First one's in the fourth round. Okay, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Three defensemen and a winger who I've never heard of. 2016, defenseman. 2015, goaltender. That was Samsonov. The last year they drafted a forward in the first round was 2014, Jacob Vrana.
That was a good pickup.
That was a good pickup. Burakovsky was the year before in 2013. We're not talking about 2012 because we're just going to get mad. And then that was Philip Forsberg. Yeah, that was good times. So they actually drafted before that, though. They drafted like 2010, 2009, 2008 were all forwards. This team needs to go back and start sort of refilling the prospect pool for the organization in terms of their forwards. So if you move on from Burakovsky, I want a forward. I don't want a defenseman. You already have Carlson, who's only 28. You have Niskanen, who's 32. So at some point in the next couple of years, you're going to need to replace him. He has a contract through 2020, 2021, in which case he will then be 34 going on 35. My guess is they move on from him at that point if they can't get that salary cap a lot lower. Orlov's only 27. Kempney's 28. Bowie's 23. Sagan Thaler's 21. Juice is only 24. So I'm not too worried about bringing another defenseman. Then you look at a guy like Tyler Lewington, who's 20. Wait a minute. 24. Who are the other defensemen? Alexia, they just drafted. He's 19. Lucas Johansson's 21. I mean, they've got a ton. Connor Hobbs is 21. They got a ton of young defensemen in the organization. Not a lot of young forwards that you look at and go, yeah, that guy's going to be in a top six role in a year or two or in 3 years. There's no one that you really look at going, okay, that's definitely the guy that we're going to, you know, be plugging in when we move on from, I don't know, TJ Oshie or whomever. So if you're going to move out Burakovsky, you need to go out and you need to bring in a forward.
But not one you think that's going to make an immediate impact, one you think you can...
Oh, I want one. Well, so that's the tricky part, because where do they fit in? So let's... I can't remember what the lineup was from the last in the game, but let's say... I think it was Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, and then you're looking at Vrana, Kuznetsov, and Wilson. So if you bring in a forward, you're likely bringing him in someone that can fill in on the second line that is a third line player. That would be my guess. If you want to bring in a goal scorer to try and improve that third line and their production. But if they can go out and acquire a prospect who's going to be pretty good, but I just don't see a team moving out one of their top prospects that's a forward for Burakovsky. Like, I think it's going to be one of those guys where you might get a young guy who can produce, or you might get a guy who's in his late 20s or early 30s, but that's not something if I'm McClellan, I'm not sure I want to make that move. It's tough, you know, because if Burakovsky's cap, it was half of what it was right now, this conversation is way easier.
That's very
but
true.
But knowing what is, I mean, right now the cap is, where did it go? I just had it. 79.5, the upper, the cap ceiling is 79.5 million, but there are rumors it could go up to between 81 and 85.
That's a big jump.
Next season. So, yeah, so that, I mean, that's a huge jump. It probably won't be, it'll probably be closer to 81, would be my guess. So it'll be interesting to see what the Capitals decide to do with Burakovsky, but if they move him out, my guess is, you know, if the team's playing really well and they're not overly concerned, maybe they bring in a guy who's playing in the AHL or a prospect that has, you know, that will likely be playing in the NHL next season. But I just don't see a team necessarily going after a streaky player like Burakovsky and giving up a high value asset.
I mean, we'll see what happens. It's kind of intriguing. Andre Burakovsky's kind of been on that trade bubble for, I mean, a few years now. And I don't know. I'm kind of more shocked at the fact that the Caps are like, no, we're going to hold on to him for a little bit longer. Because, I don't know, he just always seemed like the type of guy who seemed like he'd be trade bait. But it is what it is. One guy who is back in the lineup who doesn't have to worry about being traded right now is Willie Baby Tom Wilson. He's back after having a concussion. He came back against Carolina, and he was on a point streak before he got hurt in Vegas. But it might take him a little bit longer to get back into the swing of things. But I think that top line plays really well with Tom Wilson. He's matured into that role, and it's good to have him back. And as long as TJ Oshie is back in the second line, those two can kind of switch roles, first and second line. And I think it's a good fit. It's great to have him back on the ice.
Yeah, it's like we said before, it's great to have all the guys available, at least in the forward court. Defense is taking a bit of a hit injury-wise. But along the forwards, it's nice to have all these guys back because the roster certainly needs it. You know, it's nice to have that the team has the opportunity to sort of settle in, chance for the guys to gel, and really create something or have something that's I totally had the word, and I can't remember what I was going to say. What is the word? Brandon, help me out. I can't think of the freaking word at the moment. That's terrible. It's just nice to have a chance for the team to gel. Continuity? And sort of settle in. Yeah, I don't think that was it, but that'll work for this since I can't remember the freaking word. It is nice to have that continuity. That wasn't really what I was going for, but that'll work. I appreciate the help. Nice save. The opportunity for the guys to really just gel and work together and just settle in. Yes, continuity works perfectly here. It wasn't what I was looking for, but yes, it'll work.
Go ahead.
Having Wilson back, it also has, while the league is sort of moving away from that Chris Simon enforcer type role, it does sort of keep, with the exception of Ryan Reeves apparently, it does keep you sort of second guessing if you're going to make a run at a guy like, which you see less and less nowadays, but a guy like Ron or one of the young defensemen. Though both of the Caps' young defensemen playing right now, and Singen Thaler and Bowie, are both kind of big dudes. So if you're like if you're a guy on the other team, are you really going to go after them without being like, yeah, maybe I'll not do that? I think Vrana, who's the shortest guy on the team? It was Walker at one point.
Vrana's pretty short, I would think.
I can't say anything. I'm only 5'8". He's 6 feet.
He's six Hold feet?
On. Yeah. Well, remember, these are professional athletes. So Nick Dowd, 6'2". Travis Boyd's 5'11". Boyd might have it by an inch as being the smallest, shortest guy, I should say. 6'2", 6'3". Brooke Conley, 6'3". No idea. Oh, you know what? TJ Oshie always seems like he's a short dude. He's only 5'11". But he plays like he's like 6'5", because he knocks people over all the time. It's the continuity. It's having these guys gel together. They change the lineup from time to time. And Backstrom's on the first line now playing with Ovechkin again. And then Oshie is back on the first line. I'll be curious to see if Wilson and Oshie switch at some point. And Wilson goes onto the first line, Oshie back onto the second line. And I guess some of that will be whether Reardon, how he wants to spread out the goal scoring. Because Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie together, like that is a heavy offensive line.
Yeah.
With Wilson, with Kuznetsov and Vrana, still can put the puck in the net. But Wilson's a little bit more, slightly more physical than Oshie. Not quite as good of a goal scorer. So it'll be interesting to see if they switch at some point in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe he wants them to be a little bit more interchangeable. I don't know, but Todd Rudin's probably just happy to have everyone offensively on the ice at the same time, and he's just kind of like, let's see what happens here. Let's see if we can get this guy to work with this guy. I think that'll work, but we'll see what happens. But defense is another story. They've got a lot of injuries. Brooks Orpik is still out, and now Christian Juice is dealing with some sort of injury. What does he have going on?
So we're not really have a ton of information on him. He had surgery on his left thigh. I couldn't find specifically what was going on with him, but it's interesting. I sort of tweeted out, I was like, wait, when did Juice get hurt? And some guy was like, he'll be out for a game or two, but then he should be back against the game against Pittsburgh. But then if you read Isabel Kershutian, who's the Caps beat reporter for the Washington Post, she's making it sound like he's out for, they're not saying a season ending injury, But it's sounding like it could be pretty freaking close to that. So who knows how long Juice is going to be out, but it sounds like it's something that could last a considerable amount of time. And then you have Orpik, who's been out for a long time. So while we talked about this team has defensive depth, it's starting to get tested a little bit. I mean, they had to call up Tyler Lewington as an insurance option in case someone else got hurt. But Bowie's been playing pretty well. Sengen Thaler's holding his own. So the defense, while they've given up, you know, a decent amount of goals the last two games, they're not doing terrible. And it's nice to see that you can rely on some young guys to step up and play.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know anything about this prospect that they called up from the Bears? Is this his first time up with the club? I don't remember seeing that name very often.
We've talked about him a little bit. I can't say anything specific regarding how he plays. You know, he's been playing with Hershey. He's got some goofy-looking pictures on Google when you type in his name. I just noticed that. He's 24. I don't really know a ton about him, to be honest. But he's one of those guys that's sort of the Caps have kind of are keeping an eye on him. He was their seventh-round pick back in 2013. And I think he's a guy that they're definitely going to keep looking at. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't necessarily want to give him a game just to give him a game because at the cost of giving more ice time to a guy like Bowie or Sengenthaler. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets an opportunity to play once before he, you know, gets sent back down to Hershey if Juice comes back or if Orpik comes back. But I do think that it sounds like this kid potentially has a future. Maybe he's one of those guys that just sort of grows into his role and starts to produce and is able to play in the NHL once he gets a little bit older. Some guys come up in the NHL when they're in their early 20s or even, you know, late teens. And some guys take a little longer and then they're playing more in their mid-20s to late 20s and they become NHL regulars. And we're not really sure what Lewington is at this point, but he's certainly got to keep an eye on.
Hopefully he has a good career. I mean, I don't really know that name. I'm kind of intrigued to see if he gets some playing time. I'd like to see what he can do on the ice. So anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Oh, there's just a little bit. Where was we talking about that? Okay. So I'm only bringing this up because we talked about it last week. So we talked about Seattle and their expansion draft and who we thought the Caps would lose.
Sure.
Who did you say?
I was asking what contracts were up and if, like, the contract of Backstrom, which is timing out, would he be too expensive to save?
Okay. No, I don't think so. But so I use this app called The Score. They have a website as well. I just really like the app. I think it fits really well into what I want to get out of a sports app and my ability to find sort of news and standings, and they have a lot of different teams you can follow and get updates on. Anyways, so they came out with different people wrote different things about each division and who they thought the teams would lose. So here's what they said about the Washington Capitals. So they went with them protecting 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie. Here's the forwards. Alex, that they say the Caps are going to protect. Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Wilson, Vrana, Eller, Burakovsky. I think right there I was like, really? Because I don't think he's going to be in the organization after that point.
Right.
Or by that point, I should say. But whatever. Moving on. Defenseman. Carlson, Orlov, and Kempney, who let me double check on his contract, but I believe he'll still be under contract at that point with the Capitals. And then the goalie was Ilya Samsonov, which doesn't surprise me. Here's who they think that the Seattle will take. TJ Oshie. Oshie will be – he'll have 4 years left on his deal with the Capitals. The other considerations they mentioned were Bowie, Juice, and Sengenthaler, and Niskanen, who is an unrestricted free agent. That offseason that Seattle will then be making – Seattle is starting in the 2021 or is it 2020 season when they start? Brandon, can you – 21-22. Okay, cool. So that sort of changes what I was going to say. First of all, I don't agree with who they think they're going to be protecting. I don't think Burakovsky is part of the organization, so that opens up that forward slot. I do agree. I wouldn't be surprised if Oshie became available and they didn't protect him because he'll be 34 at that point with a $5.75 million cap hit. And depending on what this team does going forward in terms of their forwards and who they may trade for, sign, or a potential prospect. They may decide that they can move on from Oshie at that point. So they actually might make him available. I'm more concerned with, A, they thought that Burakovsky was still going to be here, but then also that they would protect – it sounds so much meaner than I'm sounding. Michael Kempney, who will be 32 at that point, over someone like Bowie, Juice, or Sengenthaler. I feel like it's going to be one of those guys that they're more likely to protect than Kempney. And then Holpe, what is Holpe is right now? He's 29. He actually will have to assign a new deal at that point, so it'll be interesting to see what the Caps decide to do with him anyways. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that they chose Oshie as the guy the Capitals would lose.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I think TJ Oshie is a kind of a big part of this team right now. I don't know. I never thought the Penguins would put Marc-Andre Fleury up for grabs and lose him. And he's playing like, you know, he's went to the Stanley Cup Finals with a new team last year. And you have Matt Murray not really panning out the way I think they would have hoped. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I don't think Andrei Burakovsky's on this team at that point. I don't know if I would even protect Dmitry Orlov. He's not one of my favorite guys. So,
wait a minute. So these guys also made the point that the player that the Islanders would lose would be Tyler Toffoli, who they think will sign with the Islanders in 2020, and then will leave him exposed in the draft. So that's interesting.
Sign a guy just to lose him?
Well, I mean, it'd be a year, two years later. I don't know. I just, you know, it's interesting stuff to look at, but rosters are going to change so much between now and when they're actually going to be making these moves. So, you know, I'm not too concerned about what the Caps are going to do at that point. I am a little concerned about the defenseman that they might lose. I think it'll actually end up being a defenseman they lose.
We'll see what happens. I mean, Michael Kempney, he's earned a contract with the Capitals, but, you know, he hasn't been here that long. You think about it, he's only been here, 6 months? So, I mean, jury's still kind of out on him, even though I do think he's fantastic. I'm a big fan.
I think it's more of an age thing as to why they'll leave him available versus someone like, I think the Caps are going to have a hard decision to make. I think it's going to be Orlov, Carlson are definitely going to be protected, and then they're going to have to decide as to whether they want to be pick Juice, Sengenthaler, or Bowie. And then also, they could go with the eight skaters or nine skaters and one goalie? There's like two options. You get 7-3-1, seven forwards, three defensemen, one goaltender, or it's like eight and two goalies or some crap like that. But the point is, I'm not exactly sure what the Caps are going to do, obviously, because it's a couple years from now. But they're going to be in a tough spot in terms of which three defensemen to protect. Because if you leave Orlov or Carlson exposed, I have to imagine they're getting picked.
See ya, Orly. Bye-bye.
All right, settle down. You're just an Orlov hater.
I am. I agree. I'm sorry. What else we got going?
But yeah, that's pretty much all. That's the Caps news. I found this Vancouver rumor interesting. I want to see where that actually goes anywhere.
What about him, about Vancouver and Burakovsky?
Yeah, that's the most interesting bit of news right now regarding guys.
Do you think Jay Beagle is telling them, like, hey, you could get this guy for real cheap. Go after him. He could do it. He's a good guy.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
To be honest.
Jay Beagle's a secret spy for the enemy. That's what I think.
Hey, Cody, or is he calling up McClellan and telling him, hey, get this guy from Vancouver. I've watched him play.
Oh, there you go. Maybe.
Of course, he could also just be relying on, like, the Caps could be relying on their own scouts.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to go down on the farm and talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. It's a Christmas tree farm. We're so close to the holidays. We're growing trees, growing Christmas magic. mountains. I don't know where I'm going with that.
You guys can't see this, but I'm shaking my head at Brandon.
All right, let's talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, we're going to switch it up this week, and we're going to start in South Carolina. That's right, whoa, Brandon. For the first time ever, I'm mixing it up. I just felt like I have no particular reason why. I just wanted to do something different. Anyways, we're going to start in South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 2-0 with wins over. Oh, you know what? I don't know who they had win over because apparently I didn't type the first freaking name. But they beat Greenville as well. My notes somehow got jacked up. Anyways, Stingrays are currently second in the South Division with 32 points and a record of 16-11, 4 points back of first place Florida. They're actually playing as we speak against Orlando, of which, give me a moment. Where is that last update?
Aren't they the Solar Bears?
Yeah, something stupid like that. that's another win.
All right.
Whoa, they're up 3-2. Now they won 5-2. How did that happen? Probably a couple of empty net goals. So Stingrays went 3-0 in the past week. They got a win over Orlando 4 minutes ago. They tweeted it out. Stingrays win. There's a bunch of W's in that win. With a 5-2 win over the stupidly named Solar Bears. What the hell is a Solar Bear? Anyways, they're going to have another game on this upcoming Wednesday in Jacksonville and then back-to-back games starting on Friday in Greenville. Let's go back up to Hershey, where the Bears went 0-2 with losses to Providence or Providence.
Providence.
And Providence. And so I like how we just do voices randomly on this show because that's not weird. They also had a loss to Springfield. I don't know what their voices would sound like, and I don't do a Simpsons one. The Bears are seriously struggling right now. They're currently last in the Atlantic Division with 24 points and a record of 11-15-2. They're going to try and turn their season around on Wednesday in Lehigh Valley, followed up with back-to-back home games on Friday and Saturday at the Giant Center against Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and then Lehigh Valley. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Are there any Caps prospects in South Carolina yet?
I don't think so.
Man, all right. That's why they're doing well.
Oh, settle down.
All right. That's it for what's going down on the farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Here we go. We're going around the NHL. It hasn't been that long since we talked, but you know what? Has somebody been concussed? Has somebody been penalized, suspended? We will find out. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, we do have a suspension.
Knew it.
It's not from the NHL, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's start in Philadelphia, where the Flyers fired head coach Dave Haxtell and promoted Lehigh Valley head coach, that's their AHL affiliate, Scott, we mentioned Lehigh Valley a bunch of times tonight. That was not intentional.
It's the Phantoms, right?
Yes. They promoted their head coach, Scott Gordon, to be the interim head coach of the Flyers. Now, there was a rumor earlier today that they're going to hire Joel Quenneville, which made me go, oh, crap, they're going to be good again. But he has reportedly denied that. Really? Flyers GM Chuck Fletcher said that he expects Gordon to be the head coach for the remainder of the season.
You know who would be a really good head coach for the Flyers?
You're going to say Gritty, aren't you?
Gritty!
Jesus. Oh, my God. That thing has exploded in so many stupid, stupid ways. So that video they put out of him in the snow was pretty freaking funny.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Did you see that one they had? I think I saw it this morning on Twitter. It was Gritty doing a thing like that Love Actually bit with Rick Grimes and Keira Knightley. It was him and Katie Nolan.
I have to see this.
So it was kind of dumb. And then like their whole bit about Gritty is he's been like hiding under the stadium or living under the stadium. But then like he references things. There's no way he should have known. So like there's no consistency with his timeline or his backstory.
He's a mascot.
Which doesn't freaking matter because like you just said, he's a mascot. So who cares? But part of me for a second was like, as like, you know, we were both video production and screenwriting. And I was like, hold on, that does not fit with the backstory. I used to watch Lost. And so, you know, some of that sort of stuck with me, I guess. But anyways.
What a disappointment Lost was. You know what
I still really like that show. It got a little crazy at the end.
I liked it too, but that ending, man. You don't stick the landing.
I know. They definitely did not stick the landing. I mean, they got to the ending they wanted. Man, we could have a whole podcast about that. Moving on. Final bit of NHL news. A bit of a short one this week, given it's only been a couple of days since we recorded last. Like I said before, the NHL didn't suspend anyone, but the Buffalo Sabres did, as they suspended forward Patrick Berglund indefinitely for failure to report to the team. It's a ballsy move by Berglund. The Sabres had acquired him this past summer in the trade that sent Ryan O'Reilly to St. Louis. That was a pretty big trade. Dude just stopped showing up. He apparently missed the last two games because he was ill, and then he just decided not to come back to the team. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on in terms of if the Sabres will be able to trade him. When you talk about trying to get something for Andrei Burakovsky and trying to build some sort of trade value, how are you going to build trade value for a guy who's not going to show up?
His
trade value is just tanking. And, yeah, what kind of punk move is it where you're just like, I'm not going to play for you guys anymore?
That is a douche move.
Go in, work your butt off. You can go in and be like, you know, and this is more of a European football thing where they put in a trade request – or not trade request. That's American sports. Transfer request where you're like, look, I appreciate it, but I want to go play for a different team. Like, you need to sell me to somebody else or however it works. You know, you can go in and go to the GM and be like, look, I appreciate everything you guys have done. This just isn't working out the way I wanted it to. When you have a chance, please move me. And this is things that NHL players have done in the past. This is not – it wouldn't be necessarily like a crazy thing if he went and did that. And if the Sabres did it well, they'd be super quiet about it in terms of him – his ask to move. So because, you know, if other teams know that he's going to be – what wants to be out of there, then it's more likely that they're not going to give you as much. But right now, his value is just tanked. So – yeah, good luck Buffalo moving him, because my guess is you're not going to get jack squat. But that's news for the past few days in the NHL.
I got to tell you, in college and after college, I had people just no-show their shifts, and then they forced me to work 16-hour shifts, and they were like, oh, well, they had their parents call and say, oh, this person's sick. They can't come in today.
Well, this dude is like 30, so I hope his parents didn't call the Sabres.
I would in today's world, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, what a crappy move. Kids out there, even if you're not happy with your job, you know, everybody's got to, you know, go home at night, and you know, it's you don't just not show up. At least put in like 2 weeks. I had a job I absolutely hated, and I gave them a month. Given I didn't really try very hard in that last month, but I still told them I was leaving in a month. I gave them time to find somebody else to replace me. But whatever. Anyway. All right, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capital stuff whenever it is I actually feel like putting a tweet out. I'm too lazy nowadays and too busy to actually start tweeting as much as I used to be.
Twitter isn't what it used to be. It really isn't.
You know, it's still the best place or the fastest place to get news.
Sure.
But I don't know.
Fake it news. Is what...
All right, settle down. But it's still like right now. I just saw a thing on BuzzFeed that apparently Alfonso Ribeiro is suing Fortnite for using his Carlton dance. I saw this thing of the Scrubs cast reunited. Apparently they stole a dance from Scrubs that Donald Faison, who played Turk, that he did, and he made it up. Like, in the middle of filming, he just made up this dance, and apparently Fortnite stole it, and he gets no residuals from it. So that's so, not cool.
They Jimmy Kimmel just said a thing of that parents were filming turning the TV off while their kids played Fortnite just to get the reaction of the kids. And it's actually pretty funny.
That's messed up, but pretty funny. yeah, somehow that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking Caps, Arsenal Football Club, and their embarrassing loss this past weekend. They need to make some moves in the January transfer window, as well as all kinds of other sports related things. And hey, if you've enjoyed the show, if you've enjoyed our rambling and me saying, like 14,000 times, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when we have new shows coming out, as well as all sorts of other Washington Capitals related things. Brandon, we did forget to mention some news because you posted, I believe you posted on the Facebook page today, Ovechkin, after having his back-to-back hat tricks, dude was named first star of the week for last week.
Deserved it.
Yes, he did. It's kind of a silly award, but whatever. I'm sure he was like, thanks, guys.
He's like, but, what's, you know, what does that mean, first star of the week? I don't get it.
Yeah, it is what it is. But hey, you know, the Orioles just tweeted something saying, ask Brandon anything, and somehow I wanted to incorporate that into to you. Because they just announced their new manager, Brandon Hyde, formerly of the Cubs.
Yeah, he was a Cubby.
This dude looks like you would just see him at a bar on like a Wednesday night.
Like he's there for like, 50 cent wing night.
Yeah, he just looks like a normal dude. But hey, he's an up and coming guy. You know, we'll see. I like what the Orioles are doing right now because, God, they were terrible last season. Somehow that was finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I know you've got some news to tell people coming up about Christmas and some cards you might be sending out.
That's right. That's right. So this will be the last show of 2018 for What the Puck. We will be taking some time off for the holidays, and we will be back in the new year. We'll go over the schedule in a little bit. But I did want to share this little tidbit of information about myself and what my family's doing for our Christmas card this year. So we all know how big and how important it was to for the Capitals to win the Stanley Cup, right? Well, of course, for my Christmas card this year, I'm going to use the picture of myself, my mom, and my aunt hugging the actual Stanley Cup after we stood in line for 6.5 hours and almost died of heat stroke on the Capitals Iceplex rooftop ice rink at Kettler. So
yeah, what's it called? It's not Kettler anymore. Is it
MedStar? MedStar, yeah.
It just doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
It doesn't, and they should have had some medical stars at that event because people literally almost died. You know, maybe give people some water at some point too. But anyway,
that would have been nice.
Yeah. So I'm using that picture, and I have a Stanley Cup replica myself. It's 2 feet tall. It goes everywhere with me like my child. And I put some lights around that bad boy, and I got a picture with my cat. Cat next to it with my new dog, and he's sitting next to it in front of the tree. And I've decided to get a few extra cards that I because, you know, you send it to friends and family. I decided to get a few extras, and I will be sending that card to Pittsburgh, to Columbus, to Tampa Bay, and to Las Vegas.
And that's not nice.
And I will be sending them cards. You know, we got the cup, and showing them, may your cup runneth over this Christmas. And then I'm hoping to also send some to some Capitals people as well. Ted Leonsis, you know, John Walton, a couple other people in the Caps organization. Because you got to celebrate this Caps win, especially at Christmas time. Because what better time to celebrate than around Christmas time? But I will be sending them out to the teams that the Capitals beat in the postseason. I can't wait to see the if there's any sort of reaction at all from them.
I'm going to go with no.
All right, let's go over the games until we talk again. On December 19th, the Capitals are up against Pittsburgh, the arch rivals. You know what? I can just hand deliver my card to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They'll be in D.C. on Wednesday night.
I don't think they're going to let you get that close to them, buddy.
We'll see what happens. It's Wednesday night, not rivalry night. That game
Who's
is at
paying 8. For Brandon to get bailed out of jail.
Hey, let's do a GoFundMe for my bail. For What the Puck bail money. I like it. You can watch that one nationally on NBC Sports. And then on Friday the 21st, the Capitals are in D.C. against Buffalo. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can also watch that one on NBC Sports nationally. And then locally here on NBC Sports Washington. On December 22nd, the Capitals travel to Ottawa and go against the Senators. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally here on NBC Sports Washington Plus. Then the Caps are off for the Christmas holiday. If you celebrate Christmas out there, Merry Christmas, everybody. And then the Caps are back on December 27th against Carolina. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be NBC Sports Washington locally here. And then December 29th in Ottawa again. Two Saturdays in a row in Ottawa, man. I don't know if you're going to Ottawa that much. Jeez. 7
That's
o'clock.
Weird. I didn't even notice that until you just said it. That's weird. Yeah, schedule sometimes just weird that way.
Yeah.
I mean, they play Buffalo in D.C. on last Saturday, and then they play them again this upcoming Friday.
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't get it.
SIAS schedule's weird sometimes.
Yeah. So
it's got to be – I'm really curious. Whoever created that schedule program or however they do it, that's got to be difficult.
That's got, yeah, I mean, think about really it. Hard.
31 different arenas. Wait, is anybody sharing an arena? No. 31 different arenas that you have to schedule for. And not only that, but then also figure out what's going on in all of those arenas with concerts and, you know, a lot of them share with basketball teams and other things. I mean, that's got to be a sophisticated program.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. The Caps have to go to Western Canada the end of every October because there's a horse show in Washington, so they can't be in D.C. for a long stretch of time. So you got to
don't even get me started on the damn horse show.
So they got to think about that kind of stuff. But anyway, that Ottawa game on the 29th, you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington Plus. And then on New Year's Eve, your last game of the new or of 2018 is in D.C. against the Nashville Predators. That game is at 12:30 in the afternoon. You can watch that on the NHL Network in the U.S. and then NBC Sports Washington. Oh, man, you know, this is our last show before the new year. We didn't even talk about the World Juniors and if there's any Caps prospects playing that.
I don't think so. I feel like I haven't heard anything.
I just found out like a week ago that it's in the World Juniors is in Vancouver. So, I mean,
I thought you were gonna say Buffalo, and I was like, oh crap! I think the last time I was in Buffalo, I was there, and I wasn't supposed to be.
Well, it was in Buffalo. What?
Maybe it was. Sorry, time before last. Maybe I already made that joke last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't heard anything.
Never mind.
I've heard nothing about the World Juniors. I've heard nothing about potentially the Hershey Bears players going over to play. Nothing. So
I think they haven't announced the rosters yet. I'm looking at the World Juniors website. Oh, this is Hockey Canada. Have they announced the rosters yet? Because nothing's popping up roster-wise. Maybe that's why we haven't heard anything.
The IIHF needs to hire me because we need to figure this out.
Well, dude, they just may not have...
It's December 17th, and the games start, what, the day after Christmas?
It might be that one website wasn't updated. Hold on, I'm checking the IIHS website. Canada. No players to display. I don't know, man.
Right, let me look at this.
Rosters haven't been announced yet. When do they get announced? Let me Google. Ah, who cares? That's too much work.
I'm trying.
Here's my real question. Are all the jerseys still going to suck?
I haven't seen
them. Let me save you guys some trouble. The answer is yes.
So if you're following along with the World Juniors, there's not a lot of information out about that. I'll just say the first game you can watch featuring the United States is the U.S. versus Slovakia on Wednesday, December 26th at 6:30 p.m. I don't know about you. You're very different than I am, but I always love the games that are really early in the morning.
I do not.
So I like them when they're on at like 6 or 7 in the morning to watch hockey. But these games
are a problem.
I like early mornings. I don't know what to say. But since these games are going to be in Vancouver, expect like normal prime time for these games. So let's see. U.S. versus Kazakhstan. Friday, December 28th, 10:30 p.m. on the NHL Network. That'd be interesting. So that's when it all starts, day after Christmas on the 26th. NHL Network will be covering that. Hopefully they'll put some more information about who's on the team, maybe there are some Caps prospects we can watch. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyway.
I can imagine Russia will take Alexiev.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Probably not. Yep, that's all right. All I got. Probably just Alexiev.
All right. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. Stick to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. We'll try to keep you updated on when World Junior Games are happening, if there are any Capitals prospects involved in them. It's just a fun tournament to just watch, even if it's not any Caps prospects. It makes it a little bit more fun if the Caps prospects are there, but it's still a lot of fun to just watch these kids play and see the type of talent that's out there. So that is pretty much it for the show this year. It's been a fun year covering the Capitals. We have not had a lot of time off, but what a 2018 it has been, watching the Caps raise the cup, then watching them raise the banner, and following them here and not really having a Stanley Cup hangover at all. They've played really well. Ovechkin's just gotten better. Coach Dan, it's been a fun year covering the Caps.
It sure has.
And can't wait to do it in the new year. So that's pretty much it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Merry Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. Otherwise, have a great December 25th. We will talk to you guys in January. Can't wait to talk to you again. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.